You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. If you're a woman and you have children, then no doubt you remember the first weeks and months of motherhood. Those long nights and blurry days, all the gear you were schlepping around to go anywhere, the sleep deprivation, and the helplessness in the face of this tiny little human taking up so much space in your heart and in your life. But for some women, about one in seven, it goes way beyond that. They develop something called postpartum depression. It's serious, and it's gone from being hush-hush to being more openly discussed in recent years, and there are new ways to treat it, Elizabeth Fiedler reports.
The low-level hum of birds and cars on a typical South Philly street is broken by a lightning bolt of sound. Someone's jamming on a guitar. But inside Lindsay Love's house on the block, it's pin drop quiet. The silence is intentional. Her one-year-old son is upstairs napping, and she heads into the kitchen to pour tea. During what many new parents describe as the happiest time of their lives, Lindsay Love remembers how she felt.
We worked with a sleep therapist to try to help him, you know, like help us all figure out like a napping schedule. And I clung so tightly to that schedule. And anytime something would go wrong, because my son is a human and not a robot, I would lose it. I mean, I was inconsolable. I was angry. I mean, I would scream at my husband. I would scream at my son. And then I would hate myself for having screamed at them.
Love remembers sobbing in the shower. She had no idea what was wrong.
And I remember speaking to my girlfriend on the phone and saying, I can't do this. And she's like, what do you mean? Where's the baby? And I said, well, he's on the floor in front of me and I just want nothing to do with him. Like he's screaming, I'm crying and I'm done. It's 8 a.m. and I can't go on with this day.
Before the pregnancy, Love had never had depression or anxiety. After, she had both.
In my mind, giving birth to a baby in this culture at this time is an act of courage for mothers and fathers.
That's Barbara Lewin, the clinical director of the Center for Postpartum Depression in Philadelphia. She says that's because there are poor social supports and maternity leave policies.
Postpartum depression is a very complex weave between the biological and what we call the psychosocial. It's referred to as a biopsychosocial crisis. So it's like a fabric, and there are elements of both the environment, the current environment of a mom, what kind of baby she has, is he or she a sleeper? And for some women, there is a very strong biological, biochemical component.
Lewin says postpartum depression continues after the so-called baby blues, which go away after about 2 weeks. Love's struggle continued until two friends intervened and connected her with a therapist. Her situation could have been much different if she lived just a few miles away, in New Jersey. A decade ago, New Jersey became the first state in the nation to require doctors to screen new moms for postpartum depression before they leave the hospital, and again at their 6-week post-birth visit with their OBGYN.
We all work together to ensure that when a mom is identified as having postpartum depression, she has as much of a seamless experience as she can.
Robin Marie Ansonio is a counselor in the outpatient counseling program at the Center for Family Services in Voorhees, New Jersey. She says moms who are identified by doctors as having depression are given the number for a statewide family health line, where they can get connected with support groups and counseling. The hotline is their gateway to a system of public-private health resources available for New Jersey parents through the state's Speak Up When You're Down campaign. New Jersey's system is relatively supportive, with mandatory screening and the hotline, thanks in part to this woman.
I'd be giving him a bath, and I would see a glass on a sink that I used to use to brush my teeth, and the intrusive thought would say, cut the glass and you can cut his throat. They were terrifying.
Mary Jo Cody described her experience in a video from Johnson & Johnson. She says after 3 months of struggling with the intrusive thoughts 15, 20 times a day, she handed her baby to her husband.
I gave him the baby and said, I'm going to a psychiatric hospital for life. You just have to get somebody good to be the mother.
Cody prayed that if she got better, she would do what she could to help other women. New Jersey's Speak Up When You're Down campaign was born thanks to Cody and her husband, former New Jersey Governor Dick Cody. The hotline helped Ava, a 29-year-old New Jersey resident, get help. She has a 2-year-old and an 8-month-old son, and for privacy reasons, asked that we not use her last name. After screening her for depression, it was Ava's gynecologist who told her to call the hotline.
If I didn't get help, I don't know where I would be right now. Because all the thoughts and everything that I was going through, it just took me to a whole nother place. I was having like suicidal thoughts. I never had thoughts of like hurting my kids or anything. I just had thoughts of just getting up and leaving.
It's not a perfect system. One weakness, says Counselor Robin Marie Ansonio, is that the New Jersey law doesn't specify how doctors screen new moms for postpartum depression.
There are still some providers who will do, so how are you feeling? Not actually doing the assessment. And if the mom says, okay, they're like, yeah, we screened her for perinatal mood disorder. The Enenberg is quick and it identifies the risk areas, which is why we'd like to use it as the standard tool, but it's not the mandated tool.
The test she's talking about, the Enenberg Postnatal Depression Scale, involves 10 screening questions. From question 2, have you looked forward with enjoyment to things, to question 10, the thought of harming myself has occurred to me. Even for moms who recognize their own symptoms, it can be scary to ask for help. Some worry they'll be labeled as an unfit mother, either by Child Protective Services or by friends and family. And the stigma and shame of being a new mother diagnosed with depression can be paralyzing. Women are falling through the cracks, says Catherine Stone. She's the CEO of a national nonprofit called Postpartum Progress.
If you start looking at some of the other women's health issues that we really pay attention to in this country, things like breast cancer, for instance, almost 3 times as many women will have PPD. So why is it that we don't talk about it enough? Why is it that we really aren't investing the kind of funds into attacking this issue that other countries are?
After her own struggle with postpartum depression, Stone was determined to educate others and encourage them to get help. She applauds a recent recommendation by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force that pregnant women and new mothers be screened for depression. She says every woman should be screened multiple times over those months. And in some cases, obstetricians could even catch the problem early. Part of the challenge is taking ownership of screening.
The interesting thing about postpartum depression is that no one medical specialty owns it, if that makes any sense. So we have women who are obviously for a while in the hands of an OB, and OBs don't have specific training in psychiatric medicine. Then you have a mom who's going to see the pediatrician, but the pediatrician's patient is the baby and not the mother, and they don't have specific training in psychiatry either or psychology. And then you have, of course, the mental health field, but many of the women who get these illnesses don't have a relationship with a mental health professional.
For women suffering the most serious symptoms, there are few inpatient options tailored to meet their mental health needs as well as their maternal needs. But that may be changing. Imagine a living room with comfy chairs and a TV, with calming photos of the beach and flowers on the wall. There's the sound of a breast pump making its trademark swooshing sound. And imagine a mom in a rocking chair smiling and talking with her tiny baby. This is what it's like at the Perinatal Psychiatry Inpatient Unit at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
We're the first perinatal psychiatry inpatient unit in the United States.
That's perinatal psychiatrist and medical director Mary Kimmel.
We have these chairs that are more like rocking chairs. We have a bassinet in the room so that she can, you know, lay baby down. So we really try to make it feel like a comfortable environment for the women where they can feel like they can, you know, work on that relationship with their baby.
Here, treatment is tailored for pregnant and new moms, and it emphasizes the mom's relationship with her baby and her entire support system.
It's not always easy to have baby, you know, on a general psychiatric unit, and so this allows mom to be able to see her baby more often.
That's why this place is different.
It's an important thing that you address both mom and baby together, and that is something that we're talking about on rounds in the morning. They're talking about in their psychotherapy groups during the day.
Kimmel says since the North Carolina Center opened in 2011, pregnant and postpartum patients have come from across the country, about 100 each year. For survivors, baby steps are important.
You want to come out? You want to say hi to everybody?
New Jersey mom Kristen's new baby is squirming around in her car seat, eager to get out.
I went grocery shopping today,
And I have, you know, a baby carrier. And I thought there's no way, you know, 8 weeks ago I would have been able to do this because I had so much anxiety about taking her out of the house.
Kristen and other survivors hope to motivate fellow new moms to seek treatment for depression.